A very good morning to you, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly to our new brother. When we read one of the Psalms, it said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Trouble is, brothers and sisters, sometimes we say something, and then we wish we hadn't. And if we go to Luke's Gospel in chapter 10, we see such a scene where there are two sisters in Luke chapter 10, and we see an indication of the pressure on our brother or our sister. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" I don't know what sort of week you've had, brothers and sisters. Judging by the announcements, quite busy. I don't know about you, but sometimes when the brother comes and makes the announcements, I look at my diary, I look at my work diary, and I think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. Sometimes there's so many things to do, isn't there, in our service, in our walk before Christ. But sometimes it can create problems for us. It can create difficulties. And for Martha, she'd faithfully invited the Lord Jesus into her house to serve. And the trouble is, brothers and sisters, when we come to break bread and drink wine in memory of the Lord, we don't really know what the brother or sister next to us is really thinking. We don't know what they've been going through. We don't always know the difficulties that they're experiencing. And for Martha, she was in trouble. She was cumbered about with much serving. The word in the Greek for cumbered has the idea of to drag all around. There was a burden, a heavy weight. She was, as the dialogue says, overbusied, perplexed in her service. And in an unguarded moment, she looks at her sister, who she thought was going to help her, and says to the Lord, "Don't you care? Don't you care that I've been left to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." If you've got a modern translation, "Tell her to assist me. Tell her then to help me. Go on, Lord, go and tell her. She needs to be here helping me." What does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful," just one thing. "Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." So we have a complete contrast between two sisters, both serving the Lord, both finding difficulties, but one had chosen a good part, and that was to sit at Jesus' feet. We've read about somebody sitting at Jesus' feet just in the previous chapters. If you go back to Luke chapter 8, we can see a man called Legion, a man whose world was in complete turmoil, schizophrenic, hearing voices, naked, dangerous, had to be chained up. And yet the Lord comes to him and heals him and takes that madness and puts it into the herd of swine that goes into the sea and destroys themselves. And when we look at verse 35, when everyone rushes out to see what was done and came to Jesus, they found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see the power of the Lord Jesus there, brothers and sisters. that out of all the madness and chaos of this man's life, the Lord could heal him. And he's there, clothed in his righteousness, sitting at his feet and hearing his word. And so that good part that Mary is choosing to adopt is to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear him. It's the advice that was given to those that saw the transfiguration, wasn't it? Jesus appears in glory, and he's there with Moses and Elijah. And the advice to the disciples, this is my beloved son, hear him. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, in all the busyness of ecclesial life, this is all we need to do, is to come and share this feast and sit at the Lord's feet and hear him. There's nothing wrong with Martha's faith. We turn to John's Gospel and chapter 11. We can see that the Lord did indeed care for Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Luke chapter 11. We can see the background. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But Lazarus was sick. So sick that we see in verse 14 that he dies. And in great distress, Mary and Martha are surrounded by people trying to comfort them. But when Martha hears that the Lord is nearby, she rushes out to see him. Down at verse 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. See, she's a sister of action. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see, she was a sister of faith, brothers and sisters. No doubt about it. And Jesus says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? To which he replies, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Son of God, which had come into the world. There's no doubt about her faith, brothers and sisters. And so she returns to the house, and she tells Mary that the Lord calls for her. And so she goes, verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And so we read on, don't we, that Jesus comes and weeps at the graveside and commands that Lazarus comes forth and is raised from the dead. But did you notice there in verse 32 that Mary's at Jesus' feet again? I didn't read verse 2, because verse 2 tells us that it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. She was at his feet, and if we go over the page, we can see the parallel account in Luke's Gospel in John, that 6 days before the Passover, we see in verse 2, there they made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. This incident is where Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and the Lord has been invited to their house for a meal. And it's at that point, in verse 3, that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odour of ointment. They say the sense of smell is one of the most powerful triggers of memory. Can you imagine, every time you had that smell, you would be reminded of this incident. And through all the controversy about the value of this ointment, Jesus says in verse 7, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." You see, Martha had spotted that Jesus' need was for a meal amongst all the furore of the crowd that was attending, seeing this man Lazarus raised from the dead. The scribes and the Pharisees wanted to take Jesus. They wanted to take Lazarus and kill him, get rid of the evidence. But Mary recognises something different. That the Lord had said that though he could raise Lazarus from the dead, he too would lay down his life for the sins of the people. So back in Luke chapter 10, we've got to be careful that in all our work, in all our service, in all that we are asked to do in the ecclesia, and there's lots to do, and it's good to do it, brothers and sisters, we've got to be careful that we're not so troubled and so overcome that it changes our perspective. Verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." The word careful there in the Greek has the idea of being anxious, anxious to the point of distraction. Keep your hand in Luke chapter 10 because we're going to come back there. We go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is a familiar chapter that deals with the parable of the sower. And it describes in verse 22 about the seed that is sown amongst the thorns is like those that hear the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. That's the danger, brothers and sisters. Martha was careful. She was anxious. She was distracted. Her attention was divided. And the danger is that they can choke our faith and destroy the word that has been planted in us. And that seed, which should grow and bring forth fruit unto the Lord, can be stumped by over-worrying, being over-anxious, by being distracted. Did you see in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sends out the 70 and he gives advice to them about what they should do as they go out to preach the gospel and prepare the ground for Jesus coming to the various villages? Don't take a purse, don't take any script, don't take any notepad or paper, no shoes, salute no man by the way. Whatsoever house ye enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." Well, already this morning I failed miserably. Before I came to the ecclesia, I looked in my bag, I made sure I got my shoes on, I made sure I got my notes, I got my computer, I got the cables and the leads, I got some money because brother might offer me the collection. We worry about all sorts of things, don't we, brothers and sisters? We overly worry sometimes. Instead of remembering that our duty is to preach the gospel, to remember the Lord's sacrifice when we come to break bread and drink wine in memory of him, we can be distracted. We can be troubled. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 32 to 35, the apostle talks about the advantages of being married or not married. That a brother is married, cares for the ecclesia, but he's also got the care of his wife to think about. And sometimes she might see it differently. Our care can be divided. Our attention can be divided. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, that your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He's coming, brothers and sisters. He's at the door. And then he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. It doesn't mean being careless, reckless, but it means we mustn't overly worry, to be anxious, to be distracted. We must have confidence that the peace of God can bring us to the peace of the kingdom. Trusting that our sins can be forgiven and that the world will be overcome by the appearing of the Lord. Martha was also troubled. The word in the Greek apparently has origins in the word tabadzo, a crowd, a disturbance. It's used in Mark 14, verse 2, about the scribes and the Pharisees wishing to take Jesus, but not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar. That's the word, an uproar, a crowd, turbulence. It's what happens, isn't it? You get a multitude of people together, there's a little bit of aggravation, and it grows. And suddenly there's a riot, uproar. And Jesus is saying, don't be like that, brothers and sisters. Don't let that little bit of trouble in your life so overcome you that there's a riot in your life and you're overwhelmed. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word. Martha was cumbered with serving. Martha was preparing a meal for the Lord, but the Lord was preparing a meal for his brethren and sisters. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, says Jesus, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 53, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, Mary had recognized that the Lord was preparing a different type of meal, the offering of his life. And so she anointed his feet with that oil in preparation of his burial, knowing that he would lay down his life for his friends. So he says to Martha, Mary has chosen that good part. And so it is for us, brothers and sisters, that we too, in all our busyness in ecclesial life, must never forget that our ecclesial work mustn't trump our care for our brethren and sisters. That busyness must not overwhelm the faith of our brothers and sisters. And it's important that we come to this feast and we sit quietly and we think of the great sacrifice that has been made for us. Because we too are called to have a portion or a share in that future glory which is to come. Come with me, if you will, to Colossians. In chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul encourages the brothers and sisters to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's good to study, brothers and sisters. It's good to read, isn't it? It's good to understand the truth. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. We need all of them, brothers and sisters, on our walk. giving thanks, verse 12, unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's the part, verse 12, the word partakers. Mary had chosen that good part, that portion, that province, that share of the future inheritance of the saints in light. How is it delivered? Verse 13. It's delivered through the, not the power of darkness, but it's us who have been translated into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his Son, even the forgiveness of sins. So it is, brothers and sisters, that as we come to partake of the bread and wine, we need to sit at Jesus' feet. We need to hear his word and recognize that through his death and resurrection, our sins can be forgiven. And we live in hope of the light of that future age as the saints of the Most High God, ruling in righteousness, bringing the world to know his power and his glory as creator of all heaven and earth. These are wonderful things, brothers and sisters. Let's work together in love. Let's be sensitive one to another. Let's be encouraging one to another. For when Jesus comes, he brings life eternal.